We turn in God's Word this evening to the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter, where we begin our reading at verse 1. Exodus chapter 15. Hear the Word of God. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host He cast into the sea, and His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you have overthrown my adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap, the deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led your steadfast love, the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard. They tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam the prophetess, a sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, They could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. The people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. And he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer." Thus far the reading from God's Word. The text that we have before us this evening are the last few verses that we just read. Beginning at verse 22, we read them again. "Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. There he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer.'" Thus far, the reading from God's Holy Word. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, many months ago, in fact, on the last Sunday night in August, I said that in the weeks and months that would lie ahead, if I were in the pulpit, I would continue to look at the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness. And at that service, I looked at a general text with you that indicated that as Israel was in the wilderness, God was leading them not on the easy way, but on a hard way from Egypt to Canaan. It wasn't easy, and yet God knew that through that, they would not fall into other ways that were contrary to his way of leading his people. Now, this evening, we begin to look at some of the experiences of Israel and why God has put them in his word so that we will know how we are to live and to walk as his people. The rest of the story, of course, is found very clearly in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this story of Israel's wandering in the wilderness can be broken down into four different sections. The first section of that wandering from Egypt to Mount Sinai. And that, we understood, took place about 3 months' time. Then came the time when Israel stayed at Mount Sinai. And Israel stayed there for about a year. God gave them the law, and God was teaching his people what they needed to know. Following that, Israel left Sinai and went to Kadesh. And that was a period of about 9 months. The largest time of the journey was between Kadesh and Canaan, 38 years. In our mind's eye this evening, let's try to join Israel on those first 3 months, only the first incident that we read about in the Old Testament. Israel is on its way into the desert land. They have crossed from Egypt. They've gone across the Red Sea, and you remember that. And now they have turned southward into the desert. Behind the people of God, there are many experiences of God's blessing, even in those early days. And they could think about what God had done, how they had come through the Red Sea, on dry ground, mind you, with water high alongside of them, not afraid of what was going on. Oh, sure, I'm certain that there were some that were a bit terrified, but they didn't need to be. God had said this was the way they should go. And triumphantly, after the last of about 1 million people, think of that, 1 million people, about half of the population of the city of Chicago, not the surrounding suburbs, but the city of Chicago itself, about half of that population, 1 million people had come through the Red Sea, and along with them, all of their cattle. Triumphantly, they sang a song of Moses, the one that we read at the first part of the 15th chapter of Exodus. And it's a beautiful song because it's a song directed in praise to God. God had given them all of this blessing and had shown them this way to go. And they sang to God's praise. Now they've been delivered. Now they are free from the bondage of Israel, of Egypt. A song of triumph they sing. While meanwhile, alongside on the shores of the Red Sea, they saw the army of Pharaoh dead. The waters had come and taken them away. Their life was gone. Oh, I can imagine what some would say today. This would be terrible. They were innocent people and so on and so forth. Remember, God is in control. And God was showing His triumph. Now they're free. Now they are in the wilderness. The time for singing had come to an end. And Moses is ready to say, "Onward, people! Let's go!" Ahead and on the side they saw the long, low chalk mountains. And they knew that there was no way to get through them until God would lead them in the right way. You can imagine that there were those who were a bit fearful of what might be hiding in the clefts of the rock. The animals and whatever else was dangerous there. And yet we read very clearly, Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. For 3 days they traveled, and then this little thing is added here, and it's very important, and found no water. Picture this crowd, this huge crowd of people. Different age groups, children, babies, elderly. 3 days, there in this wilderness of Shur, water is gone. Any water that they'd brought with them was gone. Though they should have been thinking about the evidence of God's care for them as they came through the Red Sea, you can well imagine what was going through some of their minds. The army moved on. And in their minds, there were all kinds of thoughts. Oh, they thought for a moment of what God had done, of course. Perhaps they even spoke of it with some praise. But as this army moves on with all of these people, they are in a dangerous area. Think of it. Within a day's time, the monotony had grown. No water. Hot. Hot winds. Dusty. One day. 2 days. 3 days. Well, you can well imagine that some of the people were beginning to grumble and complain. On the third day, they could see a little area of green in the mountains. And maybe for a moment they were saying, yeah, Moses was right. Jehovah cares. There's water. When they got it, it was bitter. And they named it Marah. And it's at Marah that you and I are stopping this evening. Remember that we are not just reading this as a Bible story. We're hearing the word preached. And as we're here at Marah with Israel, we are to gain spiritual instruction. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we find ourselves at Marah every once in a while. And so I want to consider two things in relation to the passage we have before us tonight. First of all, the trial. Second, the message. What God sent and what God was saying. We read, they came to Marah. They couldn't drink the water. It was bitter. Israel was subjected to a trial. And if you and I had been there with them that night, that day, we probably would have said, indeed, this was a real trial for Israel. A great trial, indeed. Remember, those million people, not a drop of water. No small thing to be without water, and especially in a desert place. The hot, dusty winds, the incessant beating down of the sun upon them, the animals in need, the children crying out, they're thirsty. And it wasn't for just a short time. 3 whole days. When it appeared as a result of crossing over the Red Sea that their trials were past, they found the trials were just beginning. Anxiously, that first person reached out to get that bit of water. How refreshing that would be. Got to his lips, And he spewed out. It was bitter. It was not anything that would be refreshing for them at all. Those who have stopped at that place throughout the centuries have said, indeed, the water that is at Marah is bitter. Men cannot drink it. Camels will only drink it if they are so thirsty that they need the moisture. True, they had been spoiled with the wonderful water, the excellent tasting water of the Nile. But now imagine their disappointment. This trial was from Israel congregation. It was from God. It was from God. We have to remember that all things come by His fatherly hand. And as we listen to them talking and complaining, we hear them murmuring. The people grumbled against Moses. What are we to drink now? So short was their memory. The water piled high, so high they couldn't see over it. They couldn't wait till they got beyond it. God had cared for them there, and now nothing to drink. But the events of the last day had been shrouded in memory, their memory. The cloud that was leading them, for you remember there was that pillar of cloud that went with Israel, was still there. But they weren't concerned about that anymore. They had other very important, they would say, concerns. In place of praise was bitterness. And then the purpose of this trial comes to the surface. We hear this very carefully. The people begin to grumble and complain against what Moses had done. But it was not Moses, it was God that did this. So often you and I think that as Christians, we ought to live the rosy pathway of life with beautiful, beautiful blue skies. Thorns not on the roses anymore, of course not. And everything is supposed to be going along ever so well. We even hear so-called radio or television preachers telling this all too often. Only believe that everything is going to be fine. Sure. In their minds, away from what Scripture says. All your problems will be solved, they tell us. Just believe. And then we are utterly discouraged when our life is less than smooth. No, it may not be that the water isn't there, but it may be so many other things. We hear a doctor's verdict, and it hurts. We have a young person who is not living and walking with the Lord, and it hurts. And then as we live with that discouragement, the weakness of our faith comes to the surface. And we begin to grumble too. And it's for this very reason that the Lord tries us. The Lord proves us just as He was proving Israel. Not to see how strong we are. He knows how strong we are. And He knows that any strength spiritually that we have is from Him. But hindrances are thrown into our way. And suddenly we have the strange awareness that we are nothing. We're nothing. We don't have what we think we ought to have. And those hindrances that He shows us and throws in our ways are there to teach us His mercy and His goodness. That's why they come. And during our lives, God shows us this in so many ways. Go home tonight if you have a little free time, or tomorrow, or sometime this week, and think about the ways that God has tested us. I can think of a number in my life, and you can think of them too, I'm sure. Think about how God has tested us, and yet the blessings that ultimately have come. When those times of testing come, we don't see beyond, and we forget. For you see, in this proving that God is doing to Israel, there is a message. The proving is not an end in itself. And this becomes clearer when we see what next comes in the passage. Moses prayed. He called upon God. Oh, you say, yes, I pray. Of course. I'm sure you do. But in the middle of those difficult times, do we cry out to God? What Israel should have done, crying out to the Lord, they didn't. Moses did it. Is it any wonder that Moses is considered a mediator for God's people? And no doubt he laid before the Lord all of the various evidences of the needs of Israel. Now think about that. All the needs of this congregation, all of the needs in our personal lives, lay them before the Lord. Moses prayed. And then we read that the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the fire, or into the water, and the water became sweet. A log. Moses, throw that in the water. The water is now able to be refreshing. Some do not want us to say that what we see here is a miracle. But it is a miracle. Very small, perhaps, but very large in its effect. God is saying very clearly that He is caring for His people. That tree or that log was a sign of God's faithfulness to Israel. It wasn't just for a few people, it was for all those people that were there, for the animals too. Remember the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Is this a reference to the same thing? After all, one day we will know fellowship with God and know it in a way that right now we don't even know it in full. And what we know through Jesus Christ is ever so wonderful. He's faithful. He's faithful in all those needs that are there. And the people drank. And then we read something else. We read that the Lord made them for them a statute and a rule. And there He tested them. What God also did was not only make sure that log got thrown in the water, but He also made sure that there would be a statute for them. Something that would teach them how He deals with His people. Do you get that now? Do you understand that in the way of the experiences that we have in life? God made it a statute for them. And His way of dealing is sweetness. The water and the log, sweetness. Here is the tender love that our Father has for all His children dear. And of course, this tender love is ours in Jesus Christ. But there was also a rule, or an ordinance, or a law, a precept that they had to learn from. And so that we continue reading here, God says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in His eyes, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer. Israel, stop your murmuring, and stop your complaining. Obey, believe, do what God has said. Condemnation comes to unbelief and to disobedience. And a disobedient Israelite was no better than a rebellious Egyptian. And we who claim to be Christians are no different either. He says, you cannot expect that deliverance that I just brought you through to end now. And now you can go on living any way you want. There are those today who talk about saying the sinner's prayer. I've said it. And then they go on living the same way they always did. God's not allowing that. He says, listen to me. I took away the hard yoke, an iron yoke of Egypt. And I lay before you the sweet and the easy yoke. Obedience is the way that they were to express their trust. And that's what you and I have to learn too. We have to express our trust, our thankfulness. I know, it's so easy to say, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for He's done this. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord. But that thanks turns into life. And this same message comes to us. All too often we begin to grumble when things don't go the way we'd like them to go. We know it. And in our best moments, we admit it. Not in our worst moments, but in our best moments, we admit it. Like Israel of old, we raise up our whys. Why this? Why that? Why does this have to happen? After all, we have a set pattern how we think our life ought to be. But don't we pray, Thy will be done, not my will be done? If we're praying, my will be done, we better have another lesson in prayer. And another lesson in catechism about the Lord being in control of all things. We raise our whys. And sometimes for some it even means that there are tears that are shed. And then a bitterness builds up. It's a bitterness that is not glorifying to God. And the old man that you and I still struggle with sticks out in every way. And we grumble against God's way. Oh, I know we pray that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must and we should. But we don't always do it. We don't always mean it. And we don't take what the Lord sends to us in too much of a kindly spirit. And so, at Mara, the Lord gave a decree and a law. And that to us, too. We cannot forget that it's God who delivers us. It's God who says, I save you. I save you from the utter agony of eternal hell through the gift of faith. It's God who gives forgiveness for our sins. It's God who heals our diseases, and I don't mean COVID and that kind of thing, the other parts of our life that don't glorify God. And we learn in Proverbs, and we learn in Hebrews, that whom the Lord loves, He chastens. That's for all of us. And He says, I turn it to your profit. You need to learn to trust in me, He's saying. You and I need to grow nearer and nearer to the Lord. We need to know the sweetness, as it were, of His love. And we must learn to obey. We must learn that this obedience of thankfulness is the expression of our gratitude and our love. God is so good. And we must learn to say, Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me where He leads me, I will follow. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee for the teaching that Thou dost give us about the wilderness wanderings. Thou art our God of grace. And yet Thou dost lead us sometimes through very difficult experiences. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt turn our eye of faith upon Thee, that Thou will grant to us more and more that gift of faith, that we may see that Thou art the God of all grace and all mercy. And if there are those who are particularly troubled with experiences right now, grant that they may know Thee, and that they may know Thy peace. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray.